I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, Episode 83, looking back at High Point at the Boz last Saturday and ahead to the final game of the season at St. Bonaventure this Saturday, 4 p.m. start time. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Hello, Ted.
Before we talk about the game, a couple of your guys received some of the major awards at the Block H dinner this week, and you know, every time I do that dinner, I'm just I'm thinking of the history of all these athletic programs and the names behind those awards and what it means to win one of them.
Yeah, you know, Ted, it's special. It's a special evening. I think our guys are always a little bit, you know, creased by the fact that they, you know, it's tougher for a team in season that has obligations each night and you know, hasn't had a ton of time to, you know, settle into their finals coming up or this and that. And we ask them to go sit in a gym for 3 hours. You know, they don't really see the full side of it. But the way that I see it, and I spoke this way on Monday evening, was, you know, we're honoring 4 years, some 5 year careers here. And I think it's a beautiful ceremony. I think our staff and I think the SAA for allowing us to put it on for these senior athletes. I think everything about it is very traditional. And that's, I mean, Ted, you know me well now. That's the kind of guy I am. I love deep rooted tradition. I love things that have been in place for a long period of time and people continue to mold them and grow them and they're staples for you know, the athletes that choose to participate at Hobart College. So I love that evening. I'm very proud that a couple of our guys got some major awards and really do believe that they've earned it.
So let's talk a little bit about the game with High Point. It just agonizing because you made a great comeback. You were dominant in the early part. They take the lead. You come back hard, and if that had been a 62-minute game, maybe it's different.
Yeah, you know, I think that's the false reality, or sorry, the actual reality about the way that this season's been for us, Ted, is that we tend to have a decent amount of regret after we play these games, and I think it, you know, it starts from an execution standpoint. You know, we've talked endlessly throughout the course of the season at the different elements of execution that just don't seem to come to fruition on game day, and how disappointing that is. But, you know, I think the biggest underlining theme here and, you know, for the Hobart faithful that has been in our corner this whole trip, some, you know, some turn it over to the naysayer side, I'm sure, but all of those that have remained loyal and supportive got to know that, you know, you got a room full of seniors and the entire team who's, you know, overly emotional about that loss. And, you know, there's not a ton to be proud of from a surface level standpoint, you know, with a record like we have it. But I am very proud of the morale of this group and how true they've stayed to the culture that we teach and the things we talk about endlessly here, Ted. I mean, our guys were fully invested in winning that game, fully invested in this season. And we've never had any issue with motivation. We've never had any issue with making sure guys are dialed in and staying focused. It's something that a record like ours, it may provide any other coaching staff deep concern. We've never faced it. We've never faced a team that we've had to push to play hard, or we've had to push to practice well, or to prepare for an opponent. Our guys are just continuing to do it. I think, you know, and it's not, I'm not saying this to blow smoke up there. You know what? I just, we're having a rough season, man, for all, like I said before, for all the right reasons. We don't have any discipline problems. We don't have any academic problems. We don't have any situations where, you know, guys are judging players on the field. And you know, I know that certain players want more playing time. And, you know, the consensus when you're losing out there is play different people, play more people, play da-da-da-da-da-da. But nobody knows what we see, I mean, day to day. You know, we're subject to the opinions of folks that watch us, Ted, for 2 hours, one day a week. And our guys just do so much more. They do so much more than that. So I just think that seeing the face, seeing their faces after that High Point game is just telling of how much they care about this program. And there's no doubt, despite the ailments we faced, that especially the senior class, fifth and fourth years, I think if you cut any of their arms, you're going to see orange and purple. And we're just very proud of that fact.
I guess if anybody has the answer to this question, you'd love them to tell you. But we've had this conversation a couple of times. You were world beaters early. It reminded me of the UMass game. Early in the game, great shots, making saves. Guys are knocking guys down. You're picking up ground balls. You're up 4-2, and then it just goes flat, and they get a six-goal run. So I know you probably don't have an answer to this, but what changes, or what do you see? Anything different in the conduct of the team or why these things happen?
No, I mean, yeah, again, Ted, I think we'd be undefeated if I knew exactly, but I just know this, you know, is a crazy game of momentum. That's the only way I can see it. Other teams are good. Other teams have good players. I mean, you know, the Maia kid for High Point is as good of a goal scorer and off-ball player as you'll see. You know, I think they've got good athletes. They've got, you know, guys who can face off well. So, you know, when you look at it from an outside perspective, it's like, okay, well, we're up 4-2. What the hell happened? It's all right, well, they've got guys that can play as well. And, you know, they're going to capitalize on some mistakes. I think what we try to teach is, you know, how do you move forward? What the next play looks like? And how do you stop momentum? How do you gain it? All the things that we've talked about on this podcast before. So, you know, I know for a fact that when the effort's there and errors are being made, then you have an opportunity to shift momentum. But, you know, there's in these conference games against these good opponents, you know, I think that's the one positive thing that we have going for us this season, and why the future is very bright for Hobart lacrosse, as, you know, we bring back a ton of our injury. We bring back a ton of returners. We played a ton of first year athletes this year. We've got a ton of experience coming back on the field and a great first year class coming in. And a lot of these opponents lose a lot of these guys. So the turnover can be in our favor. You know, I know that these games are tough games, man. They're just, we haven't lost to a bad team this year. That's what I know. Do I think that we're better than we're showing? I mean, I still do. Yes. I think that we've had opportunities to play better lacrosse than we've played, Ted. There's a zero doubt in my mind. And again, completely on the coaching staff. But there's nobody on the schedule, if you look at all the losses and go, wow, what an awful loss. I mean, there's top 20 teams all over our schedule, and we just haven't found a way to put together a great four quarters yet. And I can't put a great finger or a great exact reason on why. Other teams have good players too. That's all I can say. So, you know, some of the successes we have, it looks like the game might be easy, but you got fighters on the other sideline. You got good coaches on the other sideline, great recruits, great players. So they're inevitably going to fight back. And I think what you saw in that game was a good up and down, a good back and forth, a couple four goal swings that unfortunately for them, they made a few more plays than we did in the end.
We've talked about the injury bug. I mean, every team faces them, but you've really faced them. I did a look at the top returners from last year, and three guys, I'm not going to name names because it isn't about the guys, but you have three guys who are combined 35 goals fewer than last year, mostly because they haven't been able to get on the field.
True. You know, and I feel for those guys, man. And they've been fighting to get back on the field too, Ted. I think there's a lot to be said for an injured Division I athlete and the plight that they go through, the loneliness that they go through. I've been there. It's a gnarly road, man. It is. And I think these guys have been hanging strong, fighting to get back. We've had, unfortunately, in a couple scenarios, season-ending injuries early, guys that would be extremely impactful, quote unquote starters or, you know, depth or this and that. So losing those guys has been impactful. And it seems like, you know, a new guy comes back each week, a new guy drops out again each week. We've got guys that are fighting to get back on the field on Thursdays and Fridays, the week before the game or the week of the game. And we see their products suffer a bit because they haven't been able to practice. And you know, then we fall into that trap of, you know, are we playing this guy that's established and just been injured, or are we trying anew and seeing if they perform on game day? So we've done a little bit of both, and you know, want to make sure we honor the guys that have shown to play very well, very good lacrosse for us, and have been a little bit banged up. But you're right, Ted. I mean, there's, you know, specifically on the offensive end of the field, and you know, a couple of the in between the lines guys that would be very impactful for us haven't played much at all. You know, one of our captains and another one of our best goal scorers, if not best goal scorer, two faceoff guys that are out. We had one faceoff guy last week, and so the hits kind of keep coming. But that's why I'm so proud of this group. Understand that we have all that we need to be victorious on game day. I believe that. And I think, you know, with a few plays here and there, the UMass game's different, the High Point game's different, and we're having a very different podcast right now. So, again, I think the lessons we're learning on how to combat some injury and how to make sure that, you know, depth on a roster is more persistent as the year goes on, and the fitness that we're trying to build, Ted. I mean, we're already talking about what happens, you know, next fall. How do we make sure that, you know, we're better, we're more fit, that are, you know, that we're working the correct muscle groups to make sure that knees are more protected, hips, shoulders, trying to find ways to make sure that the concussions that we're facing go away, or at least we limit them. Those have been very impactful this season. So lots to talk about, man, but you're right. There's guys that just aren't in the lineup that would be, that would make us much better. We believe that.
Talk about guys battling through. Two that come to mind, Chad Bach and Nicky Galais. I think Bach got knocked flat about three times in that game, and Galais has just battled to stay on the field, and they just keep coming back for more.
Yeah, you know, you got to mention Anthony as well. I mean, these guys just aren't healthy. You know, Chad has been battling an injury for 2 years now that just can't go away. Not the way that he plays the game, not the volume that he puts on the specific injury. And, you know, he's a guy that is fighting pain and playing at about 80% every single game and playing his butt off. You see him, you know, diving for loose balls on Saturday, emerging as the best athlete again. I mean, his statistics are liars, Ted. I mean, he facilitates everything offensively. You know, when he's on the field, you can't cover him. You got to support the ball, and he usually makes the right decisions with it. But the wear and tear he's facing is again, it's what people that aren't in the arena don't see. I mean, this kid is fighting his butt off to give us every ounce of health that he has, and we're very grateful for it, in awe of it to some degree. You remember Nick Galais last year, Ted? He fought back from two surgeries in one season. Part of the reason he was a Block H Award winner, had to play left-handed all last year because the injury that he faced just wouldn't allow him to hold the stick and to jam his offensive player with his right hand. So we played offhand all season long and fought to get back, and has the ankle issue that he's dealing with, and again, providing everything to this program. And then and Anthony's been banged up for a year as well and ailing his old body. You can see on the field he doesn't have the same burst that he's always had, and fighting through it to give us the best opportunity to win, you know. And I think our guys would agree that these are very good players that we need on the field, and that we want to trust that they can battle through these physical ailments to help us win. And but we're just very appreciative of it, man. There's a lot of things that, I mean, Ted, I've said this 1,000 times. Nick had two shoulder surgeries in 1 year, and I mean, we've lost guys before for mono. Guys have been sick and just cashed them in. So if that's not resilient and loyal, I'm not sure what is.
Your clearing game, we talked about early in the season, you had all kinds of troubles. It's been really very good over the last few weeks. And to me, I think one of the reasons is that young, mostly young long pole group is handling the sticks well and made good decisions. They know when to run across, when to make a pass, and you've been able to clear the ball very effectively.
Yes, you know, knock on wood, that it continues this week. I think the close defenseman and the goalie in particular have gotten much better. We've put them in a lot of positions to face, you know, more high pressure rides in practice, making sure that we know where specific looks are, what to do when the clock's winding down. Just making sure that is a big emphasis for our possession battle is how we clear the ball. So we feel like with the clock the way it is and the rides that we see week to week, you know, having a clearing percentage as close to 90% as possible is very good. So we're getting up there. Also the short sticks that we have, the horses, the Chad Box of the world, Nicolay, Sprayden Weimer, Julian Race, these guys are doing it. And Jack Schleicher, Jackson Navy, you're going to hear over and over again as years goes on here. They just got a great knack for clearing the ball and know what to do when the ball's in their stick. So, yes, a good push forward there. One of the places on the field that we're pretty proud of the progress we've made this year.
So you're eliminated from the A-10 playoff race. So you have a game with St. Bonaventure this Saturday. There's always two schools of thought. One is making an audition for next year. The other is the veteran guys deserve the chance to go out on their terms. I know we saw a few different faces, guys like Connor DiTommaso in the last game. How do you play this game in terms of who gets in?
I'm more in the latter phase, Ted, that, next year is going to be a completely different feel, I think, and it's a ways away. There's kind of your coaching 101 is you know, let's move on and let's see who can make good plays against St. Bonaventure and then carry that over into the next season and get them some experience. And we'll do a little bit of that for sure. But we want to honor the guys that have given us one, a full season that has been tumultuous and challenging, and two, 4 and 5 years that deserves to be recognized. So we want to do all things here, Ted, but on this Saturday. But the first is win, and we want to make sure we're putting our best foot forward to win a game. And this isn't a scenario where I can say, and I told the team this. We've never been in a position here, and thankfully, it stings to say it for this season, but it means we've done some decent stuff in the past here. We've never been in a position where the last game of the season doesn't have postseason implications. You know, from my first year to last year, the first 10 years we've been here, every game we've played, specifically in conference, has had postseason implications, either seeding, whether or not we get into that tournament, whether or not we're hosting the tournament, anything and everything, last year included. So we've always been in a position where that last game has mattered to what happens next. And this one's a little bit different, you know, so we're all venturing into this unknown together. I see this, Ted, as a very firm test of camaraderie, a very firm test of, you know, all the mess we talk about from a culture and a teamwork and a teammate standpoint. That's where we're at. You know, we have another opportunity to compete as a group. And we sit around and we pout and we, you know, feel sorry for ourselves. And no one's got time for that crap. Nor does anybody feel sorry for us. So for us to feel sorry for ourselves is not a healthy emotion. But we also have to recognize what wins games. You know, we can't go into this thing and make it an after school special and, you know, pat each other on the back and say, hey, let's go out one more and da da da. Again, we're playing Division I lacrosse. You have to perform. Our guys have to break the game down like they have. They have to prepare. They have to put themselves in a position Monday to Friday to play better on Saturday. And if we do all those things, then the outcome can be great. And we can play and try a lot of different things. We can, we can make sure our seniors have great runs and meaningful runs. We can make sure some young guys get on the field and show us what they're capable of, and all and anything under the sun that you just mentioned, Ted. We can do all those things. But first and foremost is we got to get focused. There's another game to play in a Hobart jersey. And if you're not fortunate to do that, then you don't belong here. And you and I are not cut from the same cloth. So we've been pushing them again this week. We've made practices enjoyable. We know this is a strange scenario, one that we're not, we haven't frequented, thankfully, and don't plan on being a part of anymore in the future. But we're going to make the very best of it and make sure that we put the best foot forward and honor our seniors as best we can, and also see what the future can hold as best we can. But hard to do everything in one game. Biggest focus, Ted, is we want to win.
What do you see in the Bonnies? It would be very easy to say, okay, they're giving up 24 and 25 to people. You're going to go in there and blow them away. But they're proud like you are. They're in the same position, and they want to fire a shot.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you got Randy Mearns as the head coach there, who's, been affiliated with the Canadian World Team for how many years in a row here? I don't know, but knows the game, knows how to teach it. You know, you got a lot of pick and roll stuff. A lot of contact dodgers that change direction on contact, that don't blow you away with speed, but are also pretty crafty. Got good hands and can handle the ball pretty well in the offensive end. And defensively, have shown some zone mix and match with some man to man. And their numbers don't look great, Ted. But I told our guys yesterday, neither do ours. We have some impressive numbers individually, statistically, but from a team standpoint, you put two teams next to each other. I mean, what have we done to automatically assume we deserve to win this game or better lacrosse players than them? Absolutely nothing. So we have to make sure we see this group as one that will, I'm sure, on their senior day, last game at home, have that same focus as we do in terms of how do you want to go out? What do you want the last one to look like? And what does your legacy end with? And I think they're going to put their best foot forward to win the last game of the season. And I think that would be very meaningful for them going forward and their future. And the same for us. So as always, Ted, you bend down to face off at about 4 p.m. on Saturday. It's who's tougher and who wants it more. And we have to be in a position to know that they're going to work hard to make sure that they earn those titles. And we got to be prepared to do all things necessary to put them in our favor.
We are going to do a postseason wrap-up podcast next week, so I'll save most of those questions. But just one, on Senior Day, we saw 15 people honored. So you got 15 that are going away, the usual attrition. So you might have as many as 20 players leaving this roster, which leaves a big void in terms of performance and leadership. And I know you. I know you're already making plans for next year. Are you in the process of identifying, especially from that leadership and culture standpoint, who can step up into much bigger roles next year?
Oh, absolutely. They've already stepped into them. I mean, that I think the great part about where we're at culturally, and everybody out there may not believe me, Ted, but it's true. I mean, this is a great group of guys. And we had a couple juniors in the huddle specifically on Monday, before we start playing drills. So we have that huge emotional letdown on Saturday with words in the locker room, Ted, I don't even have in my vocabulary to make anybody feel better. And, you have a busted senior celebration afterwards. That's just, I mean, people are dragging knuckles through that thing. Just, I mean, people are upset, man. They're sad. They're frustrated, pissed off, however you want to put it. And we go into this Monday in the scenario that I just told you about, and there's guys that are returning next year that are in a huddle that are saying, hey, listen, if you're not focused, if you're not dialed in and you don't want to win this game, then get the hell out of this huddle and go do something else, because we've got a conference game to win on Saturday, and we're going to be persistent on how we do that. And that ain't coming from the coach. That's what I'm thinking, but that's coming from players that are returning next year. So I just can't imagine with the right leadership that the season like this doesn't spark any and all behavior necessary to never feel like this again. If you have 1 ounce of competitive spirit or a competitive bone in your body, then this has got to trigger everything to make sure that you're going to work at a capacity where things like this and feelings like this don't happen anymore. But I know exactly who's going to lead this team, Ted. There's zero doubt in my mind. I know exactly what's coming in here next year from a freshman standpoint, and I'm excited. I think that again, with the right mental focus, those that stick to their guns, those that stay loyal, those that don't see a greener pasture, believe that this is a phenomenal place to play this sport and get a college education. If we have those guys all dialed in, then we can put together a great team next year, and we will work our butts off to make sure that the right guys, as best we can, stay healthy throughout the whole season. But there's great leadership coming back here, Ted. It's already on this roster, and we're thrilled with it. There's great high school players that are dominating their high school teams and their seasons that are coming in here next year. And then we also have the Chris Pattersons of the world coming back. We've got the John Judes coming back, and the Rosies and the Delis and the Nolan Firths and the Ellis Wilsons, and just with more experience, thicker skin, and a more calloused mind. So I'm all the way in. I can't wait to get it going, but we got one more to do first, and then we'll talk more about that next week.
All right. Maybe it's the last game of the 2024 season. Maybe it's the first game of the 2025 season. It's Hobart at St. Bonaventure, 4 o'clock this Saturday. And for our radio listeners, that game will be on 105.7 WHWS. Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate the time tremendously.
All right, Ted. Thanks, brother.
This has been the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast with head coach Greg Raymond. Again, 4 o'clock start this Saturday at St. Bonaventure. You'll find this podcast wherever you go to get podcasts, be it Apple or Spotify or Google Podcasts, and get all your information on all Hobart and William Smith athletics at hwsathletics.com. Until next week, when we do the off-season edition, have a great lacrosse week.